outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the Father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey. The God Journey.
Next year, in Jerusalem. Hi, I'm Wayne Jacobson. In February 2024, Sarah and I will be leading another tour of Israel with an optional visit to Jordan and Petra. If you'd like to come with us, please check out the details in the podcast notes. This is my third time leading a tour there, and I not only love sharing this land with people, but also sharing my friendships from all over the world with those who come. Lifelong friendships often result from these 10 days together as we explore the land where God revealed himself to the world, where he offered the sacrifice to redeem the world, and where the final chapter of this age will be written. We'd love to share it with you. Now for part two of this very special podcast Sarah and I recorded last week with Kyle. A year has passed since I came home to discover Sarah had packed up all her things and left me, encouraged by a therapist who thought me responsible for her PTSD. We told that story last year in a series of podcasts called Redeeming Love. If you've missed that story, you can find the links in the notes below. Last week, Sarah talked about the moment Jesus brought her to, where she could finally let go of her past and the people who hurt her so deeply. This week, we continue to explore what God has done in our hearts over the last year and where it looks like he's leading us for days to come.
I just was wanting to encourage others, especially with the broken with the blessings in the midst of the broken pieces, that God is speaking to each and every one of us. I don't doubt that. Whatever reason, I don't know if it's our eyes blind them or they aren't. There's a certain time. I don't know, understand any of that. But I know he's there and we may not just connect it yet, but he is speaking and he is there.
That's part. That's the fruit of some of the freedom, right, that you're experiencing. Yeah. You're producing more freedom. You're not so focused on the painful survival. And that just allows you to recognize. Otherwise, you're focused on the broken glass all the time. And now you're seeing the diamonds in the glass. And love it. So pretty.
And I, as I have heard you talking about the broken glass, the broken pieces, I think of that beach, broken glass beach or pebble beach, I can't remember the name of it, but it's that beach that has the thousands and thousands of pieces of glass that have been roughed down and all the sharp edges have been taken off. There's no more points. And it's just this breathtaking beach of brilliant color. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. And as I hear you talking about that, that's what I'm hearing. That's the image that keeps going through my mind.
I see a beach where then the sun hits it and I see these little, you know, maybe glasses or something where it little, they sparkle and you can see little sparkling all over on the beach as the sun rays hit it. That's my vision. We all have different visions. And that's Jesus there. He's just all around.
How is it for you, Sarah, to be experiencing this at 64, 65?
Yep. 69.
A little older than that.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, but
these
I'm almost 70.
Happened 64 years ago. But
64 years ago. 60, like 68, 69.
Yep, 69.
Let's
almost
say roughly.
70.
She's over 50. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah. In some ways, I feel like I'm a little child in an adult mind or body, I should say, not mine, adult body. Sometimes I feel that way emotionally, but other times I just like, it's not too late. Yeah, it's never too late. And hopefully that it doesn't end where you don't learn, continue to learn more. Reveal more. Kind of gotten used to the, you know, it's been 60, it was so long. I mean, some of the things now, I every now and then I think it what makes it so odd or surreal is because it just feels surreal. You think back and you talk about it, it feels surreal, but what happened? And it feels like, oh, did that really happen? And just like, oh, yeah, all of this did happen. Even this last year did happen. So,
yeah. What has it been like for you to have the holes of your memory, especially in childhood, start to get filled in? What has that done for you? Has it been a benefit for you, a blessing for you? Has that been challenging for you? Because sometimes people would point back to that, right, and say, I'd rather the holes stay there. I don't want to know what's in the holes.
No, I'm grateful for knowing the past. There was a lot that happened that just didn't make sense, but I accepted because that's just the way it was in the family. But I've put in, when I was doing all that anger and everything, I kind of had a timeline of all I was putting in the memories, along with the actual dates of some things that happened within the family, along with some of the business things that happened, along with my medical issues that I had that happened, along with my dad's diagnosis of Parkinson's and some of the other things that were all going on, and they all line up. And now, especially with just a couple of weeks ago, what I knew that found all of that gives me a past history, helps me understand myself with my physical ailments that I have, because I've had some in the, because of a lot of the things that I've gone through. And it's brought me to a place of freedom that every second of it was well worth it. I would never not want to know now.
I'll second that. We're standing right where about a year ago. I was back east. Sarah was moving out. We were having FaceTime conversations at night where I have not a clue what's going on. And we're just days away from the night I come back to the year anniversary of all of that. And we started the year talking about how much pain there seemed to be in all of that. And there's an awareness now. We laugh about it. We talk about it. There didn't seem to be the pain in it. There's, you know, just things we wished had unfolded differently, for sure. But
I don't know if that, I mean, I don't know how it would have. I mean, it, I and either. That's where you can't go back with the what ifs, you know.
But this right here is the prize of the last year. It's what this woman is becoming. It's her joy and laughter and depth of conversation and self-awareness in the best of all possible ways, and seeing new freedoms in her life and new thing that she tastes and touches. And I tell you, that just puts everything in perspective from a year ago, as horrible as that was to come back to and to not know what was going on. And oh man, there's not a bit of this hasn't been worth it. If that's the only way Jesus in the garden, if there's any other way, God, let's do it that way. But that needed to be the way. And evidently this needed to be the way for Sarah and me to find this life together. But I'm telling you, I said this partway in our RV trip, I can't wait to live with this woman that's emerging. And I'll say now, it's exceeded anything I would have ever asked or imagined, to watch God work in this life and watch how she is now, just is in her home while we're over there. And I watch her as they're moving walls and designing, planning that and coloring that, and just the delight on her face, the joy on her face, the stuff we share together, the gratitude, like she talked about, there's a different gratitude that's really deep, that for me, for God, for all that transpired, it's so beautiful. I guess, as Mike said a year and a half ago, excruciatingly beautiful. And we're way past the excruciating part of it, and we're really into the beautiful part of it. So if you describe the whole year, excruciatingly beautiful. If you want to describe today, it's just beautiful. And we were driving up last week to visit some friends at Pismo Beach, and a couple-hour drive together. I was reading Sarah a book that someone had recommended, and in this book, it was talking about how God, it was talking about land and the promised land for the children of Israel. And I read one line in it about God always is preparing a place for us. And we're in the middle of this remodel. And I just started crying. I just reading it, I was just so touched. And it was like, it just in a moment of Sarah's trauma was our Egypt. Sarah's trauma that's been keeping her captive for way too long. And then a year ago was like the exodus. Exodus from me, but then not ultimately from me. It was from the trauma that needed to be, she needed exodus from, and it looked horrible. And then the year where we've lived in an apartment and we've been in an RV was like, that's our wilderness time. We have been in the wilderness. And we were talking about that this morning, and Sarah said, wasn't that scripture that some of you guys had on your heart about being led into the wilderness? And yeah. I tell you, the wilderness was not just her time away from me. That didn't last very long, fortunately, but just the last year, this apartment has been, and the RV has been the perfect place to cocoon Sarah in this process. And now we're actually, that's what touched me. We're actually preparing a place that will make Sarah just overjoyed, just watching her design the garden. We went to try to find a fountain for her garden the other day, and the perfect fountain, it must be, this place has like,
thousands
of fountains and very waterfalls and everything. And just there's the one that, and the color, everything about it, would just take it the way it is. And it's just amazing to watch the delight in all of that and to realize, okay, now we're coming to a promised place where Sarah and I will get to enjoy each other and enjoy our life and share it with other people who want to come hang out with us. And
but I found, though, that I'm still dealing with, because it's very simplified. Okay, so I have my old world over here, and then I got this new one I'm creating. And then I said, with the person I'm working with, I said, you know, my mom, she's dead right now, but, you know, it's more my emotional attachment, what I'm having and dealing with. She's out here. She's kind of floating around here. I said, I don't know what to do with her. I don't know where she lands. I don't know where
she
goes.
Poor mom. She's drifting in the...
But I'm having to deal with that. And so it's just... And I'm learning about, you know, you know this, 0 to 7, you got your operating system that really gets kicked in, and you learn how you're going to live your life and from how your first 7 years. And then I'm learning where, you know, you got that going down, and then something happens. So everything that happens compacts it down, you know, farther and farther and farther. So you have to just go deeper and deeper and deeper to dig into what, you know, to be able to explore and get into more of the freedom, you know, the releasing of more from myself, from the any kind of bondage or hold, and to go through it. It's, you know, you work through it and you process through it. So the work is not all over, you know, but I'm, you know, because things just get punky. I see how it, you know, it just gets banged in there so deep that we're constantly always going to be working on stuff. So there, I mean, I'm still dealing with a lot of things that I have learned to operate through from a child probably mentality, and dealing with that little bit by little bit as they come up. But as you come up and you deal with it, like the good riddance, you know, things, I mean, the attachment emotionally is released and gone. And that's the part that makes it worth it.
Sarah, did you ever think when you walked through the threshold of your apartment that you're currently sitting in for the first night that you were going to spend in this space? Yeah. Did you ever think that you would be where you're at right now? That it was even a possibility? Was this even an element of hope that you had in your mind?
No. Because I was so much pain. I wasn't even trying to think. I was just trying to survive. There was no thought or plan of anything. Yeah. It was just, you know, I just was surviving. And it was just a day by day. So no.
And her first night here is the night I'm coming home. And she realizes everything's unfolding. And she's seeing text messages and knowing.
Yeah.
That I'm in complete shock. And so she's also not only carrying her pain, we've talked about it. She's also carrying pain for what is he going through and what have I done to him? And so she got all that. So the first night here had to be, I can't even imagine. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Because I was at a place where I was suicidal. So where I went, because I asked him, I said, because I was concerned. Yeah, I knew he was just, obviously he was struggling. And And I did that to him. And I kept asking, is he okay? Is he okay? Because I'm thinking, is he going to kill himself? That's where I would go, right? And so I
never had that thought.
I asked him and he said, nope, I never thought that. And I said, okay. I mean, but that's where, you know, where I'm going off of my, you know, emotions of what I was feeling. So
how many guys can say they've won her love twice? I won it twice. I won it in college and I had to go find it again. And I'm just glad. I'm so grateful for the way everything worked out. I'm grateful for the life that we have together now. And I thought it was good before. So it's like, you know, for me, it's like it was wonderful. And then it's like wonderful.
Sarah, what's one of the most endearing things that you've seen Wayne live out over the last year that's reconnected your heart to his?
His love, which shows through gentleness and safetiness. And not condemning or judgmental, because that's what I would feel that I would have deserved after what I did. And just even in the house, it's just him wanting to have it in our lives, you know, place for me to do what I want to do and to live a whole and healthy life, just wanting that for me. Yeah, that's overwhelming.
I'm getting a little help from Jesus here for sure, because I'm not a decorator. And so, but there's something, we were at the house this Saturday, a lot of decisions being made, a lot of different things. And I just felt like, gosh, there's some color that Sarah loves that's not in the house. And so I just asked her about it. Are you going to miss this? And she was like, I don't know where to put it in. I don't know. And so we explored it and actually thought of a way to get it in that our designer loves. And I was like, I wouldn't be in tune to that. That's not that's not where Wayne's in tune with, is Sarah missing a color in the house. So I'd look at that going, okay, Jesus, you must have put that on my heart, because I don't know that I would think of that. But I want her to have a place that delights her heart every day she wakes up. And I think we're getting there.
I think for me, as you were describing that, Wayne, the thing that came to my mind was when you were tending her garden when she was gone, and that practice and just the conversations that you and I had about just being in her garden, tending that space, taking care of that space. And now it sounds like it's shifting to an invitation of, what would a new garden look like? What would it look like to create a new space to redesign this? Like you had this thing that you did before. You had this old world, and I'm going to tend to it for the time being. But what does it look like to create this new world? What does it look like to really let that voice speak creation into being and to be able to live there?
Yeah, I think I look at those 3.5-4 weeks we were apart and trying to get back together, maybe 5 total, 5.5. That's where God tuned my heart to a different frequency. And it was, you're the one that called and said, I think God put these words on my heart that you should tend her garden. I'm like, you mean literally or metaphorically? And you were, no, I think literally. I've got, oh, crud, that's dirt and that's cutting flowers. And but all of that and slowing to her pace. I mean, God really used those times to retune my heart to her. Though I still am learning to slow down to Sarah's pace. I'm still learning some of those attributes in different ways. But man, I tell you, without it, that's what Sarah being gone and my pain, it allowed God access. And again, God didn't orchestrate it. God didn't do it for that. But in that time, the scripture we used last week, letting God pull you into his way of life. That's what I was thinking about, you know, pull you into a life it's in sync with God's life. And in the pain, the doves, the things that encouraged my heart, this was going to come back to, I was going to find a way to her. God was going to find a way, because I wasn't trying to make her come back. I just wanted to win her back.
Yeah.
I do think it's changed how I've related to Sarah ever since. and will for the rest of my life. I'm in tune with her heart more. Because normally I'm a pretty upfront guy. I just got to ask you a question. I got to say to Sarah, like, are you happy with the way the house is? Yeah, it's great. And then, you know, what about throwing some this red burgundy color that Sarah loves in? And she's like, I'd love to. I don't know where it goes. And I feel like I'm tuned to a different frequency that is wonderful for both of us.
So what is one of the, this has been something I've been wrestling with and thinking about too, is what is an element of the God-shaped life that you've been exploring over the last year that you really resonate or connect with more on a different level that has a lot more meaning to you?
Speaking to me, Sarah, me?
Yeah, to you, Wayne. Yeah.
You know, something I've been thinking a lot about is, you know, we talk about grace as God's unmerited favor. And what I went through, not just a year ago, some things in my extended family that put me there too, even before Sarah did, and that is unmerited rejection. What that does to a life. And then I have really partnered with Jesus in that, because Jesus knew what unmerited rejection was. People he came to love, people he came to open doors to. And because of that, he threatened certain people whose power was vested in the status quo. And I think what has been shaped in my heart, the compassion for broken people, the having gone through what even Sarah would say now was unmarried. I didn't deserve for her to leave me. I hadn't done anything. That's what I kept saying. What did I do anything? If I'd have cheated on her, if I'd done something, you know, but that, and then it still goes on from my family. So my extended family. So that you talk about God taking that and shaping stuff in my heart that it makes you wonder, how could he have ever done it any other way, man? Unless you go through the rejection, unmerited rejection based on lies of someone you deeply, deeply love and still deeply love. I haven't taken the position of those idiots. Well, they just blow it off and good riddance and to bad rubbish. In that sense, I've just said, gosh, I hope God reconciles that. I hope he does. I have been lied about by people I love with all my heart and still do. And yet because they can't have a conversation that doesn't go to accusations and lies, I don't go there. I've stepped out of that hoping that a day of redemption will come. But man, that has put me in tune with pain in a way that it's not just my own pain or Sarah's pain, but it's God's pain for the redemption of the world. And the bitterness of his children who fight and exploit each other, how that wounds God and how we can hold space with that. So when I look at all those attributes we kind of highlighted last week or now, probably 2 weeks ago, since this is a double podcast, I'm sure by now, yeah. I look back and go, man, I love what this pain has produced in that woman. I do. Mm-hmm. And not the pain hasn't produced it. God's intervention in the pain. I love God's intervention in my pain and what it has shaped in my heart. And I know it's always scary to say, because I got the shape in my heart. You know what? It's still being shaped, people. No one's claiming perfected status. I've learned this lesson now. I'm good. I'm sure the next time I face unmerited rejection, I'm going to hate it as much as the last time I got it. But I do know a God that's bigger than that. I do know. And maybe we'll talk about this in a future podcast, but I was in a prayer thing a week ago and I just felt like God's invitation, Jesus's in all this, will you watch with me? Same thing he asked the disciples, will you watch with me? And they couldn't do it. They kept falling asleep. And I don't know what it is that God hurts for in our world. Look at the state of our world right now and the conflict and the anger and the animosity and the wars and the pestilence and the tornadoes. It's just, our world is a frightful mess. And if he wants somebody to just watch the world with him, and I don't know that I do much more than that. I will. I'll watch it with you. I'll hold it with you. I'll weep when you want to weep. I'll laugh when you want to laugh. We'll hold the brokenness of the world and seeing such brokenness. And Sarah, what humanity can do to humanity, what an evil person could do to my wife and not even know it, that she, what some of my extended family have chosen to do, horrible, horrible destruction for no reason. No reason whatsoever, except the need to paint me as a bad guy to get whatever it is that they need. And then you're into very ugly slices of life. Someone is all good or all bad. There's no nuance. There's no, boy, there's a lot of good there. Maybe there's some stuff that, you know, makes it a little different. We'll find a way to communicate around it and love around it. I mean, that's just real life. But when it becomes black and white, you are evil. We must disconnect from you. And then to be a willing, I haven't defended myself really to my family. I haven't. I just said, okay, that's what it is. That's what it is. You guys are going to have to sort that out with Jesus at some point. I hope they do, but I don't know if they will. Sarah, you got more to add? I know we just left you out of the conversation there for a little bit.
No, that's okay.
Good. She's even on video today, which is really challenging for Sarah. So she's a good sport.
I can't see myself, so all I'm looking at is the cameras over here on the iPhone, so I have no clue.
Just so you know, you look lovely.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm watching live and on camera.
I still haven't been able to get a curling iron up there in the curl my hair. So
that has nothing to do with the trauma. That's nope, shoulder
that's
surgery.
Shoulder surgery.
It's rotator cuff.
It's going up higher, but not quite high enough.
It didn't even move for 6 weeks. So yeah, this is pretty good right here.
Yeah.
We thought we'd be moving in the middle. She'll probably be fully recovered now before we get a chance to move.
Maybe.
See us tear out something else. Go, yep. Add another week. Add another two. We're going to live in this apartment longer than I ever dreamed.
I just, when we were talking about, this is where I was going, just thinking of if we can be able to help others dream their dreams and love what they love to do, or I just envision, you know, with the garden, what they love to do or where they can be able to find God. And rest in that. And, oh my gosh, when I'm in the garden and just even creating it, planting it, dreaming about it.
Yeah, she's already in the garden. She is mentally, emotionally, yeah. She's in that garden.
I got all pictures. I got it all laid out. You know, you come in here and how it's going to be there. And I mean, but I'm dreaming. But when I'm in the garden, I'm one that I'm with, I feel like I'm with God because I'm in his creation. Now, everybody is different on where that is. What's so special is Wayne helping me to create that space where I'm going to be able to go and sit with God. Not that he's not there all the time.
I'm going to go sit with God too in that garden.
But, you know, even the birds. I mean, it's just, I'm trying to think of the word. It lifts me up. That's not what I'm wanting. It energizes me. That's what I want. Into God's presence when I'm in a garden. And if we could help others find that where they can do or go along with them or encourage them, I think that would just be awesome.
And that's often the fruit of something, right? It's been the fruit of the whole year. The getting down that road was painful.
Yeah.
You had to be willing to go down some dark roads. And I know we meet people who are just kind of afraid, you know, Kyle, I guess you take this on too. You know, I know maybe some trauma there. I don't really want to go down that road. And, you know, the pain is going to be greater than it's worth. And I think what Sarah's saying, what Sarah can encourage people is the pain is worth it. It's worth going down that rabbit hole because God will be with you and God's the healer and there's nothing you can face that he isn't bigger than. And he can get you through it. Then on the other side of it, you have this freedom and life that's full of love and full of goodness.
It's well worth all every second of it, even in the pain, to get to this point and what it's like on the other side.
Imagine what next year will be like.
I don't know. Some of that compaction that's compacted down should be gone, right? Hopefully.
Hopefully not too many more layers down there.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, 64 years is a lot of layers. maybe
we've unpacked a lot. The puzzle is pretty well together. I'm hopeful of most of the major stuff, but we're all changing till the end of our days.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, I've got a bunch more questions, but just however long you want to go into this, I think for me, one of the things that you just said, as we've been talking about this and exploring this, Sarah, is the gift of helping somebody else find their voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, man, when I sit with people and they find their voice for the first time, and sometimes it surprises them, right? Like, they're like, can I say that? Like, is that okay for me? You know, am I doing something really bad? Like, is this way out of line? And man, the beauty when somebody finds their own voice, and because it takes somebody who is resting in a love that cannot be stolen to be able to have a voice in this world and to let it be heard.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
I just said, that's great. Yeah. If love, we could just do that for everybody. That would be awesome. Voice. Because when it's just opposite of what I think a lot of people who have been subjected to any kind of sexual abuse or whatever are feeling, that you're a subjection, you're full of shame. And then you can be able to speak up for yourself.
And you know this, Kyle, it's great when you help somebody find their voice.
Yeah.
When you're a piece of that puzzle that God works through and around and near. And I just, as I've said often, this is the greatest achievement. Doesn't sound like the right word, but when people ask, you know, what's the greatest achievement of your life? Achievement's not a great word for this, but the greatest experience of my life has been winning our way back to love, walking with her through the wilderness, and now preparing a promised land for us to move into. That's nothing better in my life.
Mm.
And I've been involved with a few things that were pretty amazing. So this beats them all.
Yeah, I think of that Hosea 2 passage of, I will turn the valley of trouble into a doorway of hope. And in those days, they will no longer call me master, but beloved.
Mm. Now you get it?
Yes, I did. When Wayne first gave that to me, and I asked another girlfriend, I said,
what is that?
For the life of me, what does this mean? And we look at each other and we just like, I have no idea. And so now I get it. I was like, what does this mean? So, yeah.
This dude lost his nut.
Yeah, I was like, I have no clue. It went just right over.
But now it's so real.
Yeah.
Yeah. In very pragmatic terms. The timing of, you know, what happened a year ago, the fact that we've got a house and we're prepared. I'm just, look back at all that going, and there's a thousand ways God could have put that together, but it's a pretty amazing little piece of art that God has put into the world in our lives, and we're grateful.
This is where I was just like, I want people to know, and that's partly why I want to share, so people have hope. And maybe think, you know, facing something that, whatever it could be, that courage to be able to step through that door to go and face it.
What would you say, or if you could write a letter to someone who is currently in a space of desperation that doesn't even know if there's hope to hold on to, what would you say to somebody like that?
I would say, I'm so sorry for what you're going through and the pain that you must be feeling and the aloneness that you're feeling. And that even if you can't believe it for yourself, I know the Father is with you. You might not feel it, might not be able to believe it, but I know that you're not alone and that there is a way out. I don't know what that is, but there is a way out and you're loved. I know that's a hard one for people to believe when they're in such pain, because the aloneness is so overwhelming and can take you to the deepest of despair.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kyle. You've been a big part of this story.
Yes, and not just, you've been amazing.
Not just thank you for this, you know, interview time or whatever, but man, from the very beginning, you're one of the first calls I made. Dude, I'm in trouble. And you're like, don't be kidding me, man. Don't be pulling this. It's not funny. I'm telling you, she's gone. And I have not a clue as to why. But you've been a real part of this story with us, and we're grateful.
And then when I text you, and then, can we talk? And I wasn't expecting that.
Way to go, Kyle. And so, that was a good move.
I, for whatever reason, I called you. So, and we talked for a long time.
We did. We really did.
But Kyle, I am very grateful for your place at this time in our hearts, in our lives. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a little surreal to even think back.
Yeah.
For me, like, because, you know, thinking back over that time and just where it's gone over the last year, and I guess holding for two people that I deeply care for and love. Like, I remember that was the first thing that went through my head was, dude, Wayne, not cool. This is not a funny joke. You took your dark humor to a whole other level.
You're not the only one who thought that. I guess I joke around too much.
And then the second thought was like, oh gosh, Lord, like, what are you doing here, Father? Like, what is your way through this? I don't even, like, I mean, it just brings tears to my eyes because it's like, Lord, to sit with friends and to sit with people you care so deeply for, not knowing the way through, not knowing if there's hope to hold, but in sometimes being the surrogate hope when there isn't, like, when there isn't the capacity. And oh my gosh, it's just, whew. Yeah.
Amazing. I think back, I mean, I just blurted out, you know, I just felt, okay, I'll text you. And then when you text me back, you know, let's talk. And I just like, ugh, I don't know. But then I did, you know, then like, you know, I just blurted out to Wayne, you want my song list? I mean, that's nothing. Because I knew how long it was and I knew he doesn't like release music. You know, just those little things. I mean, I'm sure, I guess, looking back, or if we knew, those would be little nudges that God
put. And then, do you want me to come over tomorrow, talk some more?
Yeah.
I mean, she completely opened the door. Just one step at a time, she kept opening the door to what would cost her the most, to have to recognize some things about herself that no one ever would want to know.
I guess we have to take risk. There's risk for getting through this trauma.
There is, and that could be a whole other podcast, but we're kind of pushing the limits on this. We're going to go do the 7 we thought we'd do with Sarah. Hopefully we'll see you back, babe.
Yeah.
I would.
For somebody who is very opposed to ever doing another podcast, you on here.
We talked about once a month maybe throwing Sarah on here with us, two of us. And
thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.